You must repent. Repent and be saved. You're going to hell is like the worst message I've ever heard. Repent because it's the gift of God for us. Turn to him and be loved. Be forgiven. Be whole. Be found in him rather than in yourself, because our own identities, where we try and figure it all out for ourselves, we never get it right.
The Profile with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Hello, you're listening to The Profile here on Premier Christian Radio. I'm Sam Hales, editor of Premier Christianity Magazine, and that is the magazine that sponsors this show and produces The Profile radio show and podcast for you to listen to every single week. And we bring you fantastic interviews with leading Christians from all walks of life, and this week is no exception. Two great conversations coming up for you on The Profile today. First up, we have Jessica Oyelowo. Jessica is speaking to my colleague Moiwa, who heads up Premier Gospel. And you may know Jessica as an actress and also as a singer. She's just brought out a solo album entitled Mother, with the M in mother in brackets, so it also spells other. You'll be finding out why that is the case in this great conversation, as Jessica opens up about the challenges of being married to David Oyelowo, who is a very well-known Hollywood actor. She speaks very openly about even encountering jealousy in her marriage as his career was taking off. And so you're going to hear a really honest chat between Moiwa and Jessica Oyelowo in the next few minutes. I really hope you enjoy it. Without any further ado, let's listen in.
Let's go back. You yourself, I mean, most people know your husband for all these great roles, and those who know also know you for all your work as an actress. But it seems you made a decision to focus on being a mother, being a homemaker, even though you were doing other work. Why did you make that decision? Because people you went to drama school with, that you went to, I mean, they would have been, you would have seen them doing their stuff and, you know, on stages. And why did you make that decision?
When I first became a mum, I was 23 and I was working all the time. I had another baby 3 years later and continued to work. When we lived in the UK, I was working as an actress. I did a lot of very, very fun jobs in the UK, plays, film, TV. And it was between the two of us working, having two children and a nanny, there's no way we could have done it without help. No way. No problem. It was good. I'm a good juggler. I can manage lots of different things. And then before we had our third baby, we moved to America. And when we moved to America, it was such a different industry. It was such a different space to inhabit as an artist. Because in England, we have quite the entertainment industry is small enough, certainly within acting, within TV, film, theater. It's small enough where you can know all the casting directors. You will have met all of them. You've worked with enough directors and enough other actors that you have a really good knowledge of who's who and what's what. You come to Hollywood and try and meet every casting director, you will be meeting an individual every hour for the rest of your life. There is so much going on in Hollywood. It's fierce competition, and the business of entertainment is housed in Hollywood. The artistry of entertainment is much more free in the UK. We are not as good at the business. We are actually more focused and actually more respectful of artistry in the UK. So there was no kind of fight within myself as an artist, being a mother, and, you know, definitely raises questions of who am I when you have children, because everything changes. Everything changes. Suddenly you're it's all consuming. But it was honestly, it was moving to the States and going, I don't understand this. I don't understand this business the way I understood it in the UK. I need to stop. Also, I was pregnant a month after we arrived in the UK. My agent retired while I was pregnant with my third child. I fired my team that I did have in America because I found out there were all kinds of things that I didn't agree with that they were up to. So I was like, nope, I'm not doing that. I don't want you to be representing me. You don't represent me. So no. So pregnant with a third child, with no management, no agent, no team, I just thought, I'm gonna take some time out. Everybody needs mummy right now. Everybody
So,
needs.
there must be a foundation and a confidence that allowed you. Were you comfortable doing that, or were you fighting yourself? Because most people, at least looking from the outside, one, their dream is to be in Hollywood, and it's, I'm going to do whatever I need to do. I mean, the team and the shenanigans, that's their business. God will judge them. I just need to do what I need to do to get my. So it takes a degree of confidence in something for you to say, stop, I'm not doing this. And the dreams I had, maybe they can be paused whilst I do this. Where does that, what fueled that? What informed the way you were? Was it your faith or your upbringing, or was it the fat trust fund that you had behind you?
No trust fund. No, my parents are wonderful, wonderful, amazing, very hardworking individuals who do not have a lot of money. It was all of the above. It was, I trust God with my every breath. So if he has a different plan for me right now, that's what I'm going to do. But it was also fear. There was also quite a lot of fear in me being in Hollywood and going, I can't figure this out. I don't understand this new priority list that people seem to have. And it was more important that I looked a certain way than I could act a certain way. I'm a talented actress. I'm good. I can inhabit a character. But what seemed to be more important to people was how I looked while I played that character. And that for me is like, but that's not who I am. That's not what's important to me. I don't, every character description I would read back at the, it was in the day of network television. This was 16 years ago. We moved to the US. It was sexy librarian, sexy scientist, sexy whatever. And I just going, that's not who women are. That's not who we are. I don't want to, it was all about the representation of who I am. And who was surrounding me and what I was putting out into the world. It's very important to me that I put things out into the world that are edifying, that are, even if I'm playing a difficult character or an evil character, the story itself is doing something for good. And so I just found myself going, this isn't who women are. What's going on? Why are we treating women like this? And I was a 29-year-old with three kids, and Hollywood was like, what? You're what? How we don't know what to do with you. You're too young to play the mother, and you're older. You're the kind of the right age to play the sexy girlfriend, but you're a mom, so you can't be the sexy girlfriend. It was just this kind of identity crisis that Hollywood put me through of, I need to know who I am entirely before I can offer my artistry in this environment. I need to be so sure and so confident because, yes, I'm confident enough to say no, but was I confident enough to offer myself vulnerably as an artist and, present my abilities as an artist, my personal story within song or playing certain characters? Was I confident enough to do that? No. I needed to dig in and get very rooted and grounded before I could possibly have the opportunity to be true to who I am and to who God is in me, with the crazy buzzing environment that we then found ourselves in. And so it was rough. I'm not going to lie. It was rough.
How long did that journey take you? And what were some of the things that you found on the way in yourself personally that you thought, okay, I didn't know that was there. We need to work that.
So many things. I'm still on that journey. I'm going to be on that journey for the rest of my life. There's always things that we discover that we're like, hold on a second. Is this Jesus or is this really not okay? I'm pretty sure that's not okay. I had to deal with a lot of jealousy. I was married to a man whose star was rising while I was at home wiping up poopy butts. And we had been in the UK, we'd been working together. Like we'd been, he did a film, I did a film. I did a TV show, he did a play. He did a TV show, I did a play. We were very together in our career trajectory. And for it all to stop, I definitely had a bunch of identity crises, plural. There was no way it was going to be easy. But I'm not someone who takes easy. I hear there's a road and it's broad and wide and easy. And I'm like, I'm not taking that road. I'm going to take the narrow path that leads to life. And that narrow path is never easy. It's going to be hard. So let's expect it to be difficult. And I have been praying Psalm 139 over myself for years. Search me and try me, O Lord. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And so I just go, my heart is wicked and deceitful above all else. So I can trick myself into thinking that I'm great. I can trick myself into thinking that I'm good, I'm godly, I've got it all, I'm whatever. Search my heart, oh God, because my heart is wicked and deceitful. And I need you to tell me. I need you to love me. I need you to show me where I am not godly, where I am not okay, where I'm holding on to sin, where I'm holding on to self. And so my mantra in all of this, and I'm not saying it was easy. I can say it all with a smile now. It was hard, but death to self kind of became my mantra. I was like, there is no other way. This is where I am. So I stopped working, and I didn't just stop working. I homeschooled our children. I took everybody out of the systems.
Oh, my Lord. Now, Mrs. O, you're going to make me scream, because whilst this feels like I'm having a therapy session.
Come on.
That I could share with my wife, because you're talking about things that even people who are not in Hollywood are going through, where one partner seems to be excelling and the other says, it's all right, you're living your dreams whilst I'm here. And that causes a huge fracture. But here you are in Hollywood, mm-hmm. 25 years of marriage. And you're saying you had to focus on yourself and be honest with your own frailties.
Absolutely. But Muyiwa, where we are in this world, we have, I think we've got our values slightly muddled up, that a pursuit of dreams and an excelling in the world and having money or success is where we place our value. And that's not where our value lies. I had to dig down into the place of my value being found in the one that never changes. His value system never changes. He always loves. He always cares for. He always gives. And it was an impossibly difficult journey. And I you feel like you're gonna die. It's hardcore. Because you are dying. You're literally dying. You're literally putting to death the works of the flesh. And you are finding yourself in a space where you can say, my value is not in my outward success. My value is in who God is in me. Not even who I am in Christ. I I am not the point here. He is the point. He is the reason. He is, if he can become your everything, then your value system is fully realized. And I, through writing this album, the reason, one of the big reasons I wanted to write this album was because mothers have been so devalued, where we place our value system on other, so many other things, that there's so little value placed on motherhood. It's the most important thing we can do. It's so sacrificial. It's so all-consuming. And we don't value the women that are giving up their lives to do this. And I wanted to tell my own story through this album to honor, to empower, and to respect mothers and motherhood, to let them know, I understand. I see you. I love you. You're incredible. Look what you did. You made people. What? That's incredible. You nurture them and you do all these things in secret. And I just discovered so many beautiful things about the heart of God, how motherly and kind God is through this journey.
Hey, this is Sam. Really hope you're enjoying this conversation right here on the Profile podcast today. Could you do me a favor right now? It will take you just 2 seconds to give us a rating and a review wherever you found this podcast. Just a couple of seconds to give us a rating is so, so helpful. It helps other people to discover the show as well. So if you could do that, we would so appreciate it.
We homeschool our children too. And I say we, but it's my wife that does that, and I understand the weight of it on her. And sometimes she would have days where she would say, "What am I doing? I've seen someone who's running a business, has a job, has you know the children are winning all the soccer matches." And they're still doing TED talks, and all I could do is this. So I've,
did she brush her teeth? She did it. She brushed her teeth that day.
And you're talking about some of the experiences that a lot of us see around us, and that some of us live with, but you captured it on a record. And how do you? I mean, songs like. Is it sleep? Or
sleep
it's
deeply.
It's a song where you're talking about the baby not sleeping.
Yeah.
Now, sleep deep. How does that convey the joys of motherhood? Because you're talking about baby that can't sleep, and people there'll be people listening thinking, because let me tell you real quick, we our first son, everyone would ask me. Oh, does he say, so yes, he sleeps perfectly. Then one day after about 3 months, my wife snapped and she said, listen, you sleep soundly. The baby doesn't sleep. I felt so bad for all this time. This poor woman has been up with the baby and she hasn't been. And you know what I did? I went to sleep the next day.
Of course you did.
I slept deeply. So how does this album that you put together, how does it really tell the story of a mother that you say you're celebrating motherhood? Because some of it is talking about the challenges of mother, the real pain of it.
Honestly, those challenges are usually, they're happening in secret. They're happening when mothers are alone. They're happening in the middle of the night. They're happening while she's miscarrying. They're happening while she's having an identity crisis. They're happening while she's struggling to love the children that are being so rebellious and annoying and just impossible in that moment. They all happen in secret. All those difficult things tend to happen when you're on your own with the child or just on your own. Just in that moment when you can finally get to the restroom and just sit peacefully and pray that they don't bang on the door. Like that is the only time often in your day, especially when you're homeschooling and you have young children, that is the only time you have to yourself. You have no time to even think. It's imperative that we have time to think. I used to stick my kids in the stroller and scooters and just walk so I'd have time to think. And it was in those moments where you're going, ah, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? And so I wanted to be honest about the journey because I know every mother I've spoken to, all my friends that are mothers, we all go through this and we feel alone because these things happen in private. So I wanted to be honest about the journey. I wanted people to know that they're not alone, that what they're doing is incredible, and that they hold the keys to these little lives in such a remarkable way, and that they need encouraging in the moments where they feel alone, where, you know, your sleep patterns change when you have a baby. Your body changes incredibly when you have a baby. Everything changes, and there's no roadmap for you. It's happened billions of times before. Billions of us have been born, and our mothers have been through the same thing, but I hadn't been through it, and your wife hadn't been through it until she went through it. Until she went through it herself, she couldn't be prepared for what it was going to be. And then feeling devalued in that moment and feeling like, well, what happens to me now? What happens to me? Where am I? What happened? Where did I go? These are really important things to discuss and to get out in the open, because there's a lot of guilt. Mothers are doing an incredible job and they still feel guilty that they're not doing enough. And we have to start deciding that we're going to encourage one another. We're going to honor motherhood in a fresh way. We're going to put value on what mothers are doing so that they don't feel so alone.
And the discussion around it, you exploit on the record. Then you're going to go even further in your podcast with guests like Bryce Dallas Howard, Barbara Boccoli, Gail King, and others. But I do wonder, though, I've seen big name couples like you and your husband, and I've seen how whoever the person in the limelight is, when you're out together, how the crowds clamor for the person in the limelight and totally shun the other person. So I'm assuming, I may be wrong, I'm assuming you've experienced some of that. And I wonder if you have, at what stage were you able to deal with that? And how were you able to deal with that? Especially because not just in Hollywood, there are couples, there are mothers, there are single parents or others who feel like they're being shunted to the side by other things that want the attention of whoever. How did you get to the place of shalom in that picture, and how did you do it?
Well, for the longest time, I felt like my name was actually plus one. It wasn't Jessica Oyelowo. It wasn't Olori. It was plus one. David would be invited to everything, and he was allowed to bring a guest. And even people who knew us wouldn't put my name on the invitation. They'd put plus one. And so it's very real. I have had a long time of feeling other, which is, you know, you alluded earlier to the album called Mother question mark, because there's brackets around the M. I have felt other for a very, very long time. And my process and my journey with that was, I wrote the song Birdsong, which is how on the album, it's how many times do I have to say the same thing before you hear me? How many times do I have to do the same thing before you notice me? I feel like a bird in a cage. I'm singing for freedom, but I the more I sing, the more I'm in a cage. And that song, I wrote that in the middle of feeling like I was unimportant. I no longer mattered because I was just a mother. I was just a wife. David was making movies like Selma. He was playing Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was being wined and dined in Hollywood with his plus one, who sat there like a little lemon going, I don't know what to say. I had lunch. We had dinner with President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama, and I had nothing to say. And I felt like such an idiot in that room. It was a private dinner. There was only about, I don't know, 12 people there. There's Oprah Winfrey, there's Gayle King, there's a couple of senators, there's Ava DuVernay, amazing filmmaker, there's David, there's me, there's Barack, and there's Michelle. And I'm like, what do I do? What do I say? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? I've got nothing to say. And I realized I was choosing to not have an identity. I was choosing to not participate in those conversations. I was choosing to feel like a plus one. So I had to choose to make sure that I stop putting my value in worldly success, in being around people, being in these moments and feeling like I have no value. I had to start choosing to see myself rightly. And seeing myself rightly meant seeing myself the way God sees me. And so I chose to repent. I chose.
Sorry, before you got to the repentance
Yeah.
point, how did the those feelings that you had, those thoughts that you had, how did they affect your relationship with your husband and your children?
I mean, it was difficult. To be very, very fair, David had we had quite an extreme circumstance in our life that made it very clear that I was not behaving well. So 4 weeks before he started shooting Selma, his mother had a brain aneurysm and barely survived. She was given a 5% chance of survival. She survived, but she remained in a vegetative state. She was actually in a coma the entire time he was shooting Selma. So while he's playing Dr. King, his mother in Atlanta, his mother is in London in a coma, fighting for her life. And she had prayed this movie into being. She had been his biggest cheerleader. And he is having to play this role and talk to his dad on the phone about whether mummy is still alive or not. And it was so devastating. So he had this extraordinary moment in his career, mixed with the worst moment in his life. And my response to that was very telling to me. How I responded to him stepping into what you might call his star rising, his stardom, his, the job that kind of secured his legacy as a phenomenal, as one of the greatest actors. Honestly, he's one of the greatest actors that's ever lived. He is a brilliant actor. And his mother is in a coma, and I'm feeling resentful because I'm not getting enough attention and I'm not working at the level that he is, and I'm stuck at home with children. I mean, it was a pretty big mirror that was raised up to my face to show me my own sin, my own issues, my own judgment and insecurity and fear. And that's what truly was the moment. That was where I was like, how am I this awful? I've been praying, Lord, search me and try me. You've searched me and you've tried me and I've been found wanting. This is not okay. I'm jealous. I'm jealous of my own husband. That's not okay. It doesn't matter what's happening in my life. It doesn't. It's not okay for me to be jealous. It's not okay for me to feel resentful.
Is that what you capture on soften my heart?
Yeah. Absolutely. The Bible goes on and on about how hard hearts. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. God resists the proud. What is pride? It's a hard heart. If you have a hard heart, you are proud. And I had a hard heart. I'm not all evil. You know, I was nice and I was absolutely supporting David through all of this stuff. But the turmoil that was happening inside me was this. I was not saying, how dare you go to work and be successful? And how dare you have a mother that's sick and in a coma? Not at all. I was being very, very supportive and very kind. But on the inside, I was in turmoil. So between me and God, there was a very deep conversation happening. And I needed to, and it was around that time I wrote Birdsong, where I'm like, I don't feel like anyone's listening to me, and I don't feel like I'm listening to you, and I don't feel like I'm realizing what's really going on with my life. And then I wrote Soften My Heart, where it's, Lord, I don't, clean me out. I don't like any of this stuff. I want to live in the secret place where I can see you. I can see your face. I can behold you, and I can love you the way you love me. Because the secret place is the place that mothers know better than anyone. It's all the things that happen in private. And that's the place where we're met, where we really truly meet with God, is in the secret place. That's where he calls us to. Turn aside, close the door, go into the secret place. And every mother understands that secret place. And I then made the choice to allow the secret place to become the most precious place of my life, where everything I do in secret is in worship. Everything I do, whether I'm changing a nappy or I'm washing up or I'm doing the laundry, whatever I'm doing, it's an offering of worship. It's the secret place of communion with God. And that's where everything started kind of shifting for me. And I could write songs like What Love Does, where I finally was able to receive the love of God because I humbled myself. I was proud and hard-hearted, even though, you know, people will give you a pat on the back and say, oh, you're so supportive of your husband and you're so great with the kids. What does God see? He's not looking on outward appearances. He's looking at the heart. What was my heart? It was hard and resentful. So repentance is the most healing balm for all of our lives. It's the gift of God through Jesus on the cross. It's everything. Repentance isn't like a requirement. You must repent. Repent and be saved. You're going to hell is like the worst message I've ever heard. Repent because it's the gift of God for us. Turn to him and be loved. Be forgiven. Be whole. Be found in him rather than in yourself, because our own identities, where we try and figure it all out for ourselves, we never get it right. We can't.
I'm so grateful for your time. And there's so much that you're saying that really we ought to capture for, not just for mothers, but for single parents, for young people. I have a couple of questions I would like to ask, if you don't mind. One is, on the journey of recording the album, what were two, can you paint a picture of two poignant moments for you recording the album that you can remember? I mean, they don't have to be the darkest moment or the, you know, the most scintillating moment, just two poignant moments for you on the album, so that when we're listening to the album, we hear that song, oh yeah, that's what Mrs. Oates was talking about.
Yeah. I as we do in England, it's not, I live in America now, so it's very different musically here. We don't have the Royal College of Music in America. You don't take exams, you don't do grade 1 to 8, you don't do music theory at grade 5. That's normal in the UK. And in recording this album, I realized that my knowledge of music is very, very deep. I did grades 1 to 8 in 3 different I did voice, I did tenor saxophone, and I did piano grades 1 through 8. I did my music theory, I did music history GCSE, I did music composition GCSE. I did a lot of work, a lot of study as a musician in when I was growing up. And I've continued to sing and play and write my whole life, but I've never released anything before. This is the first time I've really released something. And there was a moment when I have an orchestra on the album. It's stunning in Budapest. It's Budapest-based orchestra. And I was listening to the session that was being recorded while going to the airport to get on a plane to go do a job. I'm listening to this orchestra playing music that I had written, had been arranged for me by the most incredible guy, Ben Cherney. He did the most beautiful arrangements. And it's a full orchestra. And I'm going, this is real. This is real. I grew up with classical music. I play classical piano. I sing classical music, but I am recording my album with a full orchestra. This is unbelievable. It was such an exciting moment for me. Such an exciting moment. And I would say one of the other moments was the final song, Mother, that really it's the kind of affirmations of who I now am, know that I am, what motherhood has given me rather than what it's taken from me. And I'm a very collaborative person. I wrote most of these songs with my friend. Some of them I wrote a long time ago. Some of them we wrote together, and some of them she kind of helped me improve ones that I'd written a long time ago. And we had a choir of women singing in chorus with me, I am mother. And I heard such power in their voices, and I heard such beauty in their voices. And it really helped affirm to me the community that we need around us as women, as parents, as just human beings, the community of voices that we need around us to make sure that we are feeling the value that we actually have in all the ways in which we have been made beautiful by God.
That was Jessica Oyelowo speaking to my colleague Moiwa about her latest album. It's called Mother with the letter M in brackets. It's out and available. And during that interview, you also heard a clip from the title track, Mother. Jessica is also the cover interviewee in this month's Woman Alive magazine. Do check out Premier Woman Alive. Just head to womanalive.co.uk where you can read the interview you've just heard and get yourself a copy of the latest issue. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with another great interview for you. Coming up right here on The Profile. We'll be back after this.
Too many of us are living in a bubble and not hearing both sides of the world's important stories. It's time for a more rounded perspective. It's time to discover Premier Christianity. Balanced, confident, relevant, faith-filled. Discover fresh biblical perspectives as we bring you wide-ranging stories that impact the church. Discover the go-to source for Christian news. Subscribe at premierchristianity.com. Now only £5 for 3 months.
The Profile with Premier Christianity Magazine.
You're listening to Premier Christian Radio, and you've joined us for The Profile, where we interview leading Christians from all walks of life. You just heard my colleague Moiwa in conversation with Jessica Oyelowo, and as I mentioned, you can also read that in Premier Woman Alive magazine. Just head to womanalive.co.uk. And now, in part two, I'm delighted to say my colleague Ibe has been in conversation with the music producer Ian Green. Ian has worked with a whole host of artists, both mainstream and gospel. You're going to find out more about his career, his life, and his faith in this interview. Ibe, over to you.
You're listening to The Profile.
And you know what? I'm very, very excited because I have a man here who's worked with so many people. I mean, The list goes on and on. 40 years in the music business. He's a worship leader, songwriter, award-winning music producer. He's worked with the likes of Michael Jackson, Madonna, Jennifer Lopez, Justin Timberlake, Noel Robinson. I mean, he's got a he's made a massive contribution to UK gospel scene, mentoring and creating music for so many artists. The list goes on and on. And not only that, he's got a powerful testimony. I'm talking about the one and only Mr. Ian Green, who's with me in the studio.
Oh, bless you, brother.
It's been a long time, a long time. I think the last time we spoke, you'd just come out of COVID.
That's all right.
You were ill. You went through the whole thing of being in hospital, mm-hmm, and look at that. God has restored you.
Amazing.
And you're still here doing music and making things happen. So we really thank God for your life, the fact that you're here.
Thank you.
So you've come full circle. 3 years later,
yes,
you're here. You've got a brand new project. You've got Love Nelson with you.
Yes.
I'm hearing productions here and there, producing for so many people. I mean, first of all, how do you find time? Because you're producing with so many people. How do you find time to do your own stuff as a producer?
I don't know. I just squeeze it in somehow. Yeah. It's not always easy, but it's okay, man. You know what I mean? It's fine. I get enough time, I guess.
So, I mean, you've been producing for nearly four decades.
For real,
wow,
yeah.
Wow. And he doesn't look like he's been producing. He looks like he was born in the 90s. You know, he's got a very young face. Now, I mean, I know that you're the type of person, you're not a showboat. That's not who you are. But just tell us some of the artists that you've worked with and some of the experiences that you've had.
Gosh, that's there's a lot of people, man. On the secular or the gospel?
On the secular and gospel.
Probably Madonna. That was an amazing experience. I learned quite a lot. I learned some things there that I was like, oh wow, you know what I mean, just trying to have an innovator's mentality. And despite what we can say about, you know, secular artists, etc., you know, there's still she was a consummate professional, and you know, you could see from all of her endeavors why she became so huge. Because the work ethic, it's the work ethic and just the attention to detail. Even you wouldn't think, but man, I tell you what, she knows some stuff, and I think I grew a little bit from a great deal from that encounter, a week in the studio with her. So yeah, that was a bit crazy. Like, even I had to sing backing vocals on the record. Imagine Madonna's producing your backing, your singing. I was like, God, you've got to help me, please. I was so scared, bruv. Like, I was so nervous.
Was there a point when you had a God moment with her?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, I was led. I wasn't like going into the session thinking, right, I'm gonna preach Jesus to her, because you can't do it in your own strength. You need to be sensitive, and obviously it's a professional situation. So, you know, it's, you have to have wisdom. And, you know, I just always would pray, God, if there's anything you want me to say, just let me say it. Do you know what I mean? And just be simple and not trying to bash anybody over the head with it. Do you know what I mean? Just like let it just flow. And you know, there's a couple of times, I think there was one scripture that just came up my mouth. I just said, yeah, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And there was a few times when I kind of just dropped a few scriptures, because I live by those scriptures. It's the living word, and I need the word of God to sustain me. So I remember she said, she was like, oh man, that's words of wisdom, man. That's wow. Like, it, you know, it hit her
drops
a bit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I pray that, you know, that was a positive, that God put me in there to sow a seed into her of the word. So there you go.
Now you work with the likes of Noel Robinson. You actually did a track together on your last album,
Stand Up.
Stand Up.
Yes,
what a great
yes.
great vibe that was. That was sort of like reminiscent of Earth, Wind and Fire.
Yes, it had that kind of vibe to it, yeah.
What was it like working with Noel Robinson Studio?
Amazing. Easy to work with. Consummate professional, great man of God. Yeah, lovely.
I mean, because you both play guitar. Did you jam at one time?
No, with Noel's around, I don't need to be picking up the guitar. I'll just let my man hold that, yeah? I'm not on his level. He's incredible, man. Incredible musician.
Absolutely. Now, I want to ask you, now, there's a story about you sharing your faith with the late actress Brittany Murphy's mum. Now, Brittany Murphy was... she was in Clueless, right? And she was also in...
8 Mile.
8 Mile. She played Eminem's girlfriend in 8 Mile.
That's right.
So, please, I mean, I'd love to hear that story.
You want to hear that story?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the night we were due... I was working with Paul Oakenfold at the time, and we were due to record a record with Brittany Murphy. She was doing the lead vocal on the song called Faster Kill Pussycat. And the night before the session, I couldn't sleep, and I was thinking, what's going on, man? I can't sleep. It was so late as well. I just remember I'm in the studio in the morning, I need to be fresh and on it, and I just got a sense of like, you need to pray. So I prayed in the Holy Spirit until I felt a release, and I didn't know what I was praying for, but I just prayed until there was a release. And I went to sleep, went to the session, set up, met Brittany. She was lovely. Her mum was there. Session went really, really well. It was going great. Then all of a sudden, right, Brittany's mum pulled out a cigarette. And she just said, do you know what? I've got lung cancer and I can't stop smoking. And as she said that, it's like heaven just opened up over my head. And the glory of God came on me. And I literally had to hold on to the mixing desk because my knees went really weak. Like, I thought I was going to fall over. Mm. And it just flew out my mouth. Do you know what? I know someone who can help you with that. Mm. And I began to share my testimony of how God rose me off a deathbed and gave me a new set of lungs, which is documented, a documented miracle. So basically, I just said, you know what? Can I pray for you? And she was like, please, please. And I looked round and I saw Brittany Murphy on her knees with her hands in the air with tears in her eyes, crying. And I prayed for Brittany's mum to be healed, set free, delivered from that addiction and lung cancer.
Wow.
And Brittany just came over to me and was hugging me, and she was just like, I was praying to God to send somebody. I was praying to God to send somebody, and he sent you. And I just thought, you know, when you're on an assignment, you're doing your work, and you're just thinking, this is about me trying to make a dollar. And, you know, yes, God understands we need to survive in this world, but he'll use that as a... He used it as a vehicle to get me to... Brittany's Murphy's mum. Mm. God rest Brittany Murphy. I mean, I was devastated to find out she passed. Mm. But she loved the Lord. Mm. Hallelujah. So we know where she is. She's with the Lord. So anyway, so I found out about, I think it was about a month later, that she was healed. God healed her, man. Wow. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Glory.
Wow. God has a plan. I said it, and we've been talking about it this morning. God has a plan. He has a plan for you and for me. He has a plan. I'm very, very encouraged by that.
Amen.
Wow. If there's any questions that you'd like to ask Ian, he's in the studio. Text 66777. We've got a text coming already. Someone says, how do you make a decent living on the gospel scene without working in secular as well?
Trust in the Lord, just allowing God. See, God knows what we need, and sometimes it's not about just having all of this excess, even though that's nice and that we want that. But you know, I find I still do secular things here and there, but it's really to a minimum, because I just, those doors don't really open for me now. It's mainly gospel, and then I work with my son. So you know, God looks after us. You know, I wouldn't say I'm, you know, well off or anything. But the truth is, we have the prosperity of God, and that's as any need being met at any given time. That's the meaning of prosperity, and I have that in my life. I can honestly say that God is faithful. He's the supplier of my needs, and you know, sometimes He had to deal with me of not having the pride of life and the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, you know, like wanting to have all these nice things, the big house, the big car. In fact, God allowed me to be stripped of certain things, you know what I mean? But because he's my source, my gift is not my source. My talent is not my source, but Jesus is my source. And there's peace in that. That you can rest in that, because God is so faithful. He watches over his word to perform it. So I tell you, it's such a peace. So yeah, it's all good. God's got it, man. He knows he knows his thoughts concerning us, thoughts of good, plans for good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope and an expected end. It is well with my soul. Even when we're going through trials, we know that God is on the throne, and that he will supply our needs. Our needs are met supernaturally. You know, it's just, oh, hallelujah.
Ian, now this year marks 50 years of UK gospel music. Now, how would you describe the UK gospel scene when you first started out to where it is now?
Oh, wow. Well, when I came into it, yeah, it was obviously a lot smaller than what it is now in terms of the reach. But, you know, like obviously having this station, a step forward, you know, you've seen it really begin to grow in a great way, which is wonderful. There's a lot more people doing it now than when I started. Mm. I mean, obviously, I came into it still quite late because, you know, I didn't grow up in the church. Mm. But so I missed out on a lot of obviously what you guys have grew up with. But yeah, you can see now it's like this, it's not inundated, but is a lot of great talented ministers that are having a platform now, obviously with the social media. You know, it's wonderful, man. It's that, you know, the knowledge of God through music is covering the earth, man, and that's what we want, and that's what God wants. So it's great, you know, it's a great time to be a gospel artist, I feel.
So here at Premier Gospel, we love to celebrate newcomers. Now, who are the new artists that you're probably listening to and celebrating at the moment?
Oh gosh, I love Called Out Music. I think he's amazing, very gifted, lovely. I love Limbo Blaze.
Limbo Blaze.
Yeah. Forgive me, bro. I didn't mean
Limbo Blaze. That's a new one.
sorry. My bad. Thanks for correcting me. But yeah, I love his record, the Gyra track.
Mm.
That's incredible, man. Amazing record. Yeah, I mean, there's too many to name.
Amazing. Now, Ian, we're going to be playing your new single, Giving You All, but. And it's kind of a testimony of where you're at, because you do give God all, but you've also been plagued with health issues as well. So, what's going on? What happened? I know that there was a time when all your organs shut down. Then you had COVID, but God has brought you back. I mean, just give us a quick testimony. Just round off the testimony.
Oh man, which one though? Because you know, it's so funny. My kids. They call me Nine Lives, and it's a bit of a running joke, but it just proves how faithful God is. And if it's not your time, it's not your time. Mm. And you know, the first time I was, you know, severely ill back in 2001, I had acute septicemia, 90% organ failure, collapsed lungs, double pneumonia, jaundice, all at the same time. And I was on life support, and the doctor said to my wife, yeah, sorry, there's nothing we can do for him, and if, you know, we're going to switch off the machine in the morning. That would have been seer, but God had another plan. Hallelujah. And he gave me a new set of lungs, rose me up, And I've been fortunate to share that testimony in a few places, and God's good. And then I think it was in 2016, I had really severe high blood pressure, and I ended up in hospital again with hypertension, and then I have a thing called arterial fibrillation where my heart doesn't work fully. I'm still here, praise God. I'm still dealing with that. I have to take medication, obviously. And the thing is these pills, I don't really want to have to take them, but, you know, we have to use wisdom. I'm trying to lose weight and I'm fluctuating, but it's hard. I've really changed my diet completely, cut out so much stuff. And, but these tablets, they make it hard for you to lose weight, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm trusting God. It's cool. It's all good.
Well, if he can give you new lungs, then, you know.
He could do anything.
He could do anything. You know, we're really encouraged. And I know that someone out there is encouraged by your testimony. So this new song, Giving You All, just give us a little snippet of it, because we're going to play it now.
Yes.
So just give us a little idea of what it's about.
I just love the Lord. Like, he's just been so good to me in my life with my family, and it just came out of me. Like, I just want to give God my all. I know I'm not where I could potentially be or should be, but I just want to give him all the glory, all the praise, truly, because he's done so much in my life. He's revealed himself in such a profound way to me. You know, it's a relationship. He's there. You know, David said, no matter where I go, I could be in heaven, I could be in Sheol, but wherever I go, you are there, Lord, and God is with me. And I just love him because he's so faithful. He's so wonderful, people.
And, you know, one thing about Ian is very passionate about the Lord, and it comes out in his records. It comes out when he ministers. And if you see him, you need to see him minister live. But that's another question. That was Ian Green and Giving You All. What a great vibe that is. Great, great. And you played all the instruments on that, right?
Yeah.
How many instruments do you play?
Oh, drums, bass, guitar, keys. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, we dabble.
He's like, we dabble. Yeah, we do, you know.
Misspent youth.
Yeah. What a great, great summer vibe track that is. I mean, was that purposely done to kind of bring out that summer vibe?
No, not at all. I've always been a fan of Chic and Nile Rodgers.
Yes.
You know, and, the whole Bernard Edwards.
Oh, amazing place.
So it was kind of like I had been kind of listening to that. And I just picked up my guitar and I just got that guitar riff. And sometimes the songs just start from a riff.
Mm.
And I just thought, let me just follow this. Let's just see where this goes. And, I put down, had the little groove. And then, it was just like, okay. And I started to hum some melodies and... Mm. And it was like, that's the direction to go. And it actually came to me really quickly, this song, like for maybe 10 minutes. Like that rough outline was there.
It just takes 10 minutes just to do a song. 10 minutes.
Well, just in terms of the direction and you know, the lyrical concept and stuff. But obviously it takes a lot longer to produce.
Well, perfectionist, aren't
you? you've got to say enough's enough at some point.
Yeah.
Otherwise it'll never get finished.
It'll never get finished, like Dr. Dre, you know.
Over-analysis leads to paralysis.
Oh, there you go.
So,
little nugget for you. Now, tell us about Freedom Worship Movement. We've just heard... Love Nelson. What a great name that is. Love Nelson.
Love by name and love by nature.
Come on. Now, tell us a bit about this movement.
Yes.
What's the purpose of this group?
Well, you know what? It stems from, I just felt a calling. I felt God, really spoke to me about building a team. And, obviously I work with a lot of singers and artists. And God has been bringing a lot of people across my path over the last sort of 5-6 years.
Mm.
And, you know, he kind of said, you know, put a team together. So I've done that. I've got a good, great team of people. Still on the lookout, just trying to get everybody that God wants for it. So it's in its early form. But it's in the view to obviously doing some meetings, some events, getting out there ministering as the Lord leads. And but also, it's like going to make records. Do you know what I mean? Because that's obviously what I do. So, you know, it's a place where I can help to showcase, you know, people like Love. Do you know what I mean? There's this whole plethora of amazing talent that needs songs and production and maybe not even have access to it. And I want to provide that for them as I feel that's what the Lord is really wants me to do. And obviously when we do live events, they will minister. So yeah, you know, obviously it's going to be birthed in a lot of more prayer, which we're into. So yeah, it's early days, but I'm just allowing the Lord to build it, you know. So yeah, that's the plan.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine. Lowe sabe que ahora más que nunca buscas el precio más bajo. Por eso, cuenta con nuestra garantía de precios bajos para obtener lo que necesitas a precios competitivos para tus proyectos. Y si encuentras un artículo igual a un precio más bajo que califica, te lo igualaremos. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Igualación de precio aplica al artículo igual con un precio actual en tiendas calificadas. Aplican términos y exclusiones. Detalles en Lowe's.com/garantía precios bajos.